Pull out of your worship folder the notes for this morning's message. You'll find that there at the top says Life in God's New Community, Studies in Ephesians. We have been going through the book of Ephesians almost verse by verse. We're going through Ephesians, and we have learned in Ephesians already, chapter 1, the blessings we have in Christ. Christ has chosen us as his children and has adopted us and given us all these marvelous blessings from heaven. Fantastic blessings, adoption in Jesus Christ, the seal of the Holy Spirit, seeing us all the way to the day of redemption, all these marvelous things. Paul has laid a foundation, a theological foundation for us to see and understand our blessings in Christ, the gifts that we have, our position in Christ, who we are, our new identity in Christ, giving us confidence that we'll never lose that standing in Jesus Christ and being his children. And he's prayed for us a couple times already in the book of Ephesians, leading us up into chapter 4, talking about the church, this amazing bride of Jesus Christ, this amazing organization that is now reflecting to the world his beauty and his glory, now seen visibly within the church of Jesus Christ. And so he talks about how the church is organized, how the church has functioned, how God has given to the church gifts of prophets and apostles, evangelists, pastor, teachers, to equip the body, to teach the body how to minister to itself, but more importantly, to minister to the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how the church is to function. And then he goes into how the church looks. The church has taken off the old clothes of its former way of life, each one individually, its former life of sin, and put on the new clothes that God has made for us of holiness and purity. And now we are in that passage of Scripture where he's talking about the practical application of what that looks like in each one of our lives. How is it lived out within the church? How is it lived out in the home? How is it lived out in the workplace, so to speak? And then in chapter 6, we're going to find out how to do spiritual battle with the enemy. And we'll take quite a bit of time as we dissect chapter 6 verse by verse and look at the armor of God as it is applied to our lives. So this is the last Sunday we are talking about marriage. We've gone through this passage of scripture on marriage in Ephesians chapter 5 verse by verse. And last week we were at verse 33. So here it is, verse 33, and we spent 2 weeks on this because it is so important. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And last week I shared with you that really this verse has opened the door to many, many couples around the country, thousands and thousands of couples, through the ministry of Emerson Eggerichs, Emerson and Sarah Eggerichs, through their seminar series on love and respect. And I mentioned last week that the Steins were willing to donate for a while the love and respect series for us, and we hope to begin showing that in just a couple weeks when we're finished with our current curriculum in our family discipleship hour. So since the Holy Spirit has revealed to Dr. Emerson Eggerichs the understanding, this powerful understanding of the connection in this verse of how a man is wired, how a woman is wired, I'm giving credit where credit is due and simply just reflecting his teaching. And then we'll go back to our normal kind of sermon next Sunday. But I thought, I can't do it any better than he does. So we're just benefiting from his expertise and what the Holy Spirit has gifted him. So thank you, Stiles, for that DVD series. We're going to put that to good use. And the reason I'm spending extra time on it is because not everybody will be able to see each individual DVD. So we're doing it on Sunday morning as well. So last week we talked about the crazy cycle, a cycle that Dr. Emerson said, here's what usually happens in a marriage. After the romance phase is over and the couples are in the nitty-gritty of life, and so they're trying to slug it out at times, trying to get by from day to day, the wife reveals that she's not receiving the love she used to get during the courting phase and the early marriage phase. And so because she's not getting the affection, the love, the attention, she tries to fix it. She tries to address that issue. And so she tries to correct her husband and make him kind of become the man he once was or should be. And oftentimes it ends up he's being treated like a child because that's her nature. That's how she's wired. And he reacts to that correction by withdrawing. And that just makes the problem worse because he feels, I'm not getting the respect. So lack of love that's not given to her causes her, he feels, to disrespect him, causing him to withdraw even more, giving less love, and the cycle just spins downward. So to correct that is what Dr. Egrich is saying. We need an energizing cycle, something to counteract that and to get us out of that crazy cycle into a healthy spiritual cycle of affirming one another, loving one another, respecting one another. So here it is. It's the energizing cycle. His love for her motivates her respect for him, which motivates his love for her, which motivates her respect for him. And you can see the cycle just adding to that marriage. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And ladies, I know I was hard on you last week, and some of the guys said they weren't going to show up today because they knew today was the men's turn. I'm glad to see you here, men, so we'll talk a lot about that today. Let's begin with decoding a woman's signals, okay? This is important. Why are you smiling over there? Decoding a woman's signals. And this is part of the cycle we talked about, which is that crazy cycle, because the man understands or perceives what she's trying to do as disrespect. But is it really disrespect, or is it out of love for him and out of love for their desire to have this couple come together in love? She is offering advice, she's offering help, she's offering a chance to improve their marriage together. And so he's picking up on these signals, and they may not be accurate at all. He may interpret them as disrespect when actually it is nothing more than just absolute love. Love for the marriage, love for her mate. So the importance of decoding a wife's intention, her criticism is not intended to control. It is intended to connect. And oftentimes men can't see that. They just can't. So we need to not listen to our emotions and intuition at that point. We need to look at the instruments of God's word. You heard about flying with instruments, right? You might be in a storm. You don't know where the airport is. Sometimes you don't even know if you're upside down or whatever. And so pilots have to rely on their instruments, and we want to do that here. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. And so, husbands, if others are telling you, no, we think your wife is doing this, listen to others, because others are usually going to be a lot more objective than you in the midst of that situation. So listen to objective advice. Those are your instruments to help you fly correctly in your marriage. So Dr. Egrich has put together two acronyms to help us understand how to love and how to respect. The first one will start with men learning to love their wives in a better way, called couple. That's what wives want. They want their coupling to get increased and to have the two come together. The second one would be chairs, and we'll look at those acronyms here. All right, so closeness is the C that a wife wants. She wants that closeness, that intimacy, that togetherness that she is so wired for. Okay? A wife wants and needs to feel close to her husband. And for her, face-to-face time is heart-to-heart time. That's not how men are wired. Okay? Men are wired shoulder-to-shoulder time. Okay? Not face-to-face time. There's a difference. So for a wife, face-to-face time equates to heart-to-heart time bringing the two together. That means, guys, when you come home from work, you're tired. The most important thing you can do at that moment in time is while she's in the kitchen getting dinner ready is to park yourself in the kitchen or nearby and start talking to her and asking questions how her day is going. So talking is right up there on the list. And my wife is sitting in the front pew, and you know how this affects back to me, right? I struggle with this as well. So there's no expert up here talking about how it's done. I'm learning from this as much as anybody else. So talk to her. Here's some helps that you'll find in the DVD series as well as in their material. Your wife feels close to you when, listen to these suggestions, just simply hold her hand, or you hug her, you are affectionate with her. You are with her alone so you can focus on each other and laugh together. You go out for a walk, you go out for a jog, anything that results in togetherness. You seek her out, you set up a date night, you eat by candlelight, you go out of your way to do something for her, like run an errand. You make it a priority in your schedule to spend time with her. You are aware of her as a person with a mind and opinions. Take that time to be with your wife. Well, take a look at, first of all, these scripture verses. Deuteronomy 24, 25. When a man is newly married, these are the laws found in the Old Testament, he shall not go out with the army or be liable for any other public duty. He shall be free at home 1 year to be happy with his wife whom he has taken. See, God knew that a man and a wife need that first year to come together, to merge their lives together, the importance of bringing that couple face to face. Genesis 29, 34 is a story of Jacob and Leah and Rachel. But Leah is describing, now that she has conceived and bore a third son, now this time my husband will be attached to me because I have borne him now three sons. See that concept? I want to be attached to my husband. I want my husband to know that I am important to him. Openness, number two, openness. A wife needs to know why her husband is behaving as he is and seeks to draw it out. Why are you silent? Why are you quiet? Why are you worried? What's going on inside of your mind? What's going on inside of your heart? A wife wants to know what's happening inside of her husband's heart. Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man, or here, a wife of understanding, will draw it out if he lets her. Importance of letting a wife in to that hidden part of a man's ego, the part that sometimes he compartmentalizes off and builds a wall around because he's trying to protect something. He doesn't want to be vulnerable there. A wife needs to get access into that area of his life in order to help him be the man he wants to be. Let's take a look at some suggestions. Your wife feels you are open to her when you share your feelings or frustrations or your fears. And you say to her, let's talk. Ask her what she's feeling. Ask for her opinions. Your face shows you want to talk to her. There's relaxed body language, good eye contact. You take her for a walk to talk and reminisce about how you met, or perhaps you talk about the kids and the problems you may be having with them. You're opening up your life so she can see inside of you. Openness. Closeness. Openness. Third, understanding. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. I've spent several times talking to you about what that means. It means fragile. It doesn't mean weak in the normal sense. It means fragile. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Willard Harley wrote a book called His Needs, Her Needs. And he listed the five top needs of a man in a marriage and the five top needs of a woman in a marriage. And through all of his years of counseling, he has discovered that if each of those two partners in a marriage actively pursue filling those needs of their partner, they will affair-proof their marriage successfully. So he has listed in his order of priorities what he feels are woman's number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, based on his experience in counseling, and these are those five. Number one, she desires affection. She wants affection. She wants to be known that she's loved. Number two, she desires conversation, as we've already discussed. It's amazing how these two match up together. What the Egritses have found and what Dr. Harley, Willard Harley has found. Third, she wants honesty and openness. There you go. Same thing we've just been talking about. Four, she wants financial security for her home to know that she's not going to be destitute, homeless. Number five, she wants a commitment to the family. A commitment to the family. Are you going to be there to love our children in the days ahead? Will you support them? Will you nurture them? Will you help me raise our children? And so I think it goes a long way for a husband to understand these five areas of a need of a woman's life and understand that this is extremely important to her. And if you feed into those needs in her life, you will live with your wife in an understanding way. You will know your wife far better than you do now. Number four, peacemaking. What do we mean by peacemaking? It means having peace in the home. No tension in the home. There might be arguments, no doubt, but how do those arguments get resolved? Or is there silent treatment? If there's silent treatment, then there's no peace within the home. So what does it mean? It means saying, "I'm sorry," with sincerity and humility and admitting how you have hurt and wounded your spouse. That's peacemaking. So men, when we have wronged our spouses and we have hurt them, it's not enough simply to say the words, "Oh, I'm sorry." You know that. A five-year-old can tell when someone is being genuine or not in their expression of an apology. It's easy, look at our notes, it's easy for a woman to apologize because she's wired that way, to restore a relationship. It's harder for a man to apologize because he is thinking he's going to lose respect. That's what our culture teaches. You ever admit you're wrong, you ever apologize, it's weakness, you're opening up that door and you are losing respect. So, guys, get over it. That's all I can say. Just get over it. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. The reason we're not peacemakers in our home is because of our pride, pure and simple. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Admit it. You sin against each other. You hurt and wound one another. Openly admit it, confess it, and ask for forgiveness. Number five, L stands for loyalty, showing commitment to the marriage no matter what. The D word is never, ever used, even in a joking manner, ever used in a marriage. Showing commitment to the marriage no matter what, Job 31:1 said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? And a wife wants to know that her husband has love only for her. He doesn't have roving eyes to see what else is out there, what something better might come along. She knows he is committed to that marriage and that marriage only. How can we do that, men? What are some of the helps that we can do that for our wives? Well, she is assured of your loyalty when you speak highly of her in front of other people. You're involved in things important to her. You help her make decisions, such as ones regarding the children. You don't correct her in front of the children, and you don't look lustfully at other women. You make your marriage a priority. She needs to know that you are loyal to her. Finally, number 6, esteem. Honoring and cherishing her as we are instructed in Ephesians chapter 5. Proverbs 31, verses 28-29 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her in front of other people." Other people hear and know how much he appreciates and esteems his wife. He says, "Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all." So some helps from that regard for you men to make your wives feel esteemed. You say, "I'm so proud of the way you handle that," or you speak highly of her in front of other people, just like the man did there in the book of Proverbs. Compliment her in front of other people. So many ideas there you can get as we look at cherishing and loving our wives. That's how you spell love, according to the Word of God. All right? Now, for the gals, how can you help your husbands in his desire for respect? The acronym is CHAIRS, C-H-A-I-R-S. We start by looking at Proverbs 14:1. "The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hand tears it down." And you know what that's talking about. It's easy for a wife to criticize, complain, nag, scold. What she's doing is tearing down her house. But if she's a wise woman, she'll take these suggestions to build her house, to build up her husband, to build up her marriage. So we'll go letter by letter. C stands for conquest. This is not chauvinistic. It is how a man is wired. To go out and conquer. To go out and see what he can do in this world. To take from its resources, harness those resources, accumulate those resources, add to an inheritance he's going to give to his children and grandchildren. That's what conquering is all about. So conquest is appreciating his desire to work hard and achieve. That seems to be number one in a man's value. This is who I am. This is what God has gifted me to do. Take a look at Jacob again with Laban here and working for his wives. In Genesis 30:30, Jacob asked, "For you had little before I came," talking to Laban, his father-in-law, "and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?" Because that's what God has called me to do, to provide for my own home. And to add to my inheritance, I intend to give to my grandchildren and children. You know, if a man comes home and says, "Honey, I got a promotion." And she says, "That's nice." Okay, now wait a minute. If she said to you someday, "Honey, I'm pregnant," and you say, "That's nice," how would you feel, wives? You see, that's... And they're not the same, but value what is important to each other. So here's some helps for that, okay? Let's talk about some helps for your husband in this area. Your husband will feel you appreciate his desire to work and achieve when you tell him verbally or in writing that you value his work efforts. You express your faith in him related to his chosen field and his talents and his skills. And you see that he works hard. You listen to his work stories as closely as you expect him to listen to your stories about the children that day, what's happening in the home. You see yourself as his helpmate, helping him to get ahead in his career and in his chosen field. A couple of suggestions for you there. Number two, hierarchy. Hierarchy. Appreciating his desire to protect and provide, which comes from Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 24. That's his responsibility. As head of the house, God has assigned it to him, the responsibility, as Jesus is head of the church and willing to give his life for the church and did give his life for the church to protect the church, to nourish the church, so does a husband do that for a wife. That is his assignment. And so he takes that on his shoulders with seriousness and soberness. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's your job. As provider, protector, one who cares for his family. One gal was, she and her husband were going through a friend's house. They got a brand new house. And so this brand new house, the couple who owned it invited this other couple to come and check it out and see it and enjoy the new furnishings and the new house. And so they're going through room from room, room by room. And when they're finished with the whole demonstration of the house, the wife who's visiting says to her husband, guess you need a second job. Nothing could be more crushing to a man's spirit than to insult his ability to provide adequately for his family. Wives, don't go there. Don't go there. If your husband's working hard with the talents God has given him, then he is living up to what God has called him to do to the best of his ability. Let's continue on. Authority. Appreciating his desire to serve and lead in that role. 1 Peter 3:1, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. He didn't ask for this role. He was given this assignment by God. Like I say, he has to carry that role on his shoulders with soberness and seriousness. To love you like Christ loves the church. And a lot of women, of course, react to this and get angry with the fact that the feminist movement has told them they are second-class citizens because they are required to submit to the authority of their husbands. Don't do that, ladies. Don't react that way. Yes, in a situation in a home, you're discussing a decision to be made, whether to move, to stay, to relocate, to change jobs, whatever. All of that input is taken in, but sometimes a decision has to be made that a husband feels is best for the family, whether his wife agrees or not. Agree to that. Agree to that in love, knowing that God is leading him, and you can trust God, that God will help him make the right decision. Your husband will feel you appreciate his authority and leadership when you tell him you are thankful for his strength and enjoy being able to lean on him at times. And you support him as a leader in your home. And you never say, quote, you're responsible, but we're still equal, so don't make a decision I don't agree with, because that's violating his role. You praise his good decisions. You are gracious if he makes a bad decision. You disagree with him only in private and honor his authority in front of the kids. You give your reasons for disagreeing quietly and reasonably, but you never attack his right to lead. Helpful hints on how to help him be the authority in your home. Next is insight. Appreciate his desire to analyze and to counsel in difficult situations. We say that women have natural intuition, and I believe they do. They're able to see, Patty's able to see, she has a gift of discernment, and able to read people very well. So value that, men, value that gift of her intuition. But gals, your husband has a counterbalance. He has insight. There's a difference between the two. There's intuition and then there's insight. And so God has given you both. So wives, it's not just your intuition. Listen to your husband's insight into a situation. Listen to his wise counsel. It's not just men who have blind spots. Women have blind spots too. 1 Timothy 2:14, Paul talks about this. Adam was not deceived in the garden. Eve was deceived. She was the one who didn't understand all that was happening to her. She didn't understand the temptation that was in front of her. Adam did. And he disobeyed knowingly. But the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. So women may have intuition, but men indeed do have insight and wisdom that God gives to them to make wise decisions. Your husband will feel you appreciate his insight and counsel when you tell him up front. You just need his ear. Don't complain to him later that he always tries to fix you. You thank him for his advice without acting insulted or like he doesn't care about your feelings. You recognize his problem-solving approach as his male brand of empathy. That's how men try to treat problems. You realize your vulnerabilities, especially among males, and value his protection. Men can see things that women often can't. So appreciate his insight and wisdom as the spiritual leader of your home. Finally, relationship. Mentioned before that women want face-to-face, men want shoulder-to-shoulder. It's a difference. Just how we're wired. Appreciate his desire for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. Women share experiences by talking about them. Men share experiences by sharing an activity. One wife went with her husband hunting one day. So he had a deer stand out there, and he had his rifle. I'm not sure she had hers, but they're out there in the deer stand. And so they're out there all day long waiting for a deer to pass by. And of course, you got to be quiet, you know, so the deer don't hear you. So they're sitting in this deer stand together, and all day long they've been waiting for a deer to come by, and no deer comes by. And then at the end of the day, they get out of the deer stand together, and he walks back to the vehicle along with her. He says, "Oh, that was awesome." And she thinks, "What a waste of day. We didn't say a word." Yeah, that's exactly how we're wired. So differently that way. So appreciate shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. Look at this advice from Titus 2:4 to older women. So older women train the young women to love. We talked about this before. Phileo. Phileo love. Not agape love. Phileo love. Understand your husband wants kind of those shoulder-to-shoulder friendship things. So participate with him in his activities as much as you can, the things that he enjoys doing. You tell him you like him and you show it. He knows you love him, but he often wonders if you really like him. You respond to his invitation to engage in recreational activities together, or you come along to watch him do something. You enable him to open up and talk to you as you do things shoulder to shoulder. You encourage him to spend time alone, which energizes him to reconnect with you later. You don't denounce his shoulder-to-shoulder activities with his male friends to get him to spend face-to-face time with you. Good, good, good suggestions. And finally, the last one would be S for sexuality. I think Willard Harley would put this number one. These are not necessarily in any order of priority here from the Eggridges, but sexuality. Appreciate his desire for sexual intimacy. That's too weak a word. I would say craving for sexual intimacy. Craving. That's how a man is wired. If a man needs to minister to his wife's spirit to gain access to her body, so must a woman minister to a man's body to gain access to his spirit. Did you catch that? Took a quote right from the Eggridge's book. Very, very helpful. I'll read again. If a man needs to minister to his wife's spirit to gain access to her body, so must a woman minister to a man's body to gain access to his spirit. 1 Corinthians 7:3, the husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. In our study in our gospel community group, called Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas. Excellent series on marriage where he talks about marriage is not about happiness. Marriage is about holiness. 2 weeks ago, we talked about sexuality in a home. And he's right. The one who denies the other of sexual intimacy is the one who has the power in the relationship. So, gals, consider this. He will feel you appreciate his desire for sexual intimacy when you respond to him sexually more often and initiate sexual intimacy periodically. You understand he needs sexual release just as you need emotional release. You let him acknowledge his sexual temptations without fearing he'll be unfaithful and without shaming him. You're partner with him in helping to control those things. And you don't try to make him open up to you verbally by depriving him of sexual intimacy. Very good ideas. None of this can happen in a marriage without the gospel of Jesus Christ making it happen. It all goes back to the cross. If two people are in a marriage without Christ at the center of it, it is going to be filled with nothing but selfishness and constant fighting. But when we come to the cross and we kneel before the cross, what we have done in that moment, as we confess our sins to Christ and ask him to be the Lord and Savior of our life, is we say, I am no longer Lord of my life. Now, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I have taken myself off the throne of my life and allowed you, Jesus, to sit on the throne of my life. Therefore, it's no longer my selfish needs that come first in a marriage. It's your commandments that come first in my marriage. Oh, if we could only learn that. And oh, if we could only live by that day by day. Patty has a favorite phrase. It all goes back to the cross. It all goes back to the cross. Are you willing to live with the cross centermost in your life, helping you to make every choice a God-exalting, Christ-honoring choice? Well, hopefully this has been helpful. And again, I appreciate the fact that we're going to be able to look at the DVDs, because I think we need to spend more time here and allow Christ to teach us how to have marriages that honor him and let others see those wonderful marriages. Let's stand and be dismissed with prayer. Father, we look at your love, Jesus, for the church and marvel at its depth and extent, the love of Christ, which cannot find any measure of height nor depth. It is amazing. And now you put that passion, hopefully, upon our lives as well, as men, as husbands, to love our wives like Christ loved the church. And so, today, as we close our time in this practical time of studying your word, we ask, Father, that you will help us as men to lay down our pride and sacrifice that pride on the altar so that we might totally surrender our rights to you, Jesus, to you, and to show to our wives that we're willing to humble ourselves, to show a spirit of repentance when necessary, to allow you to wash our hearts clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, and be the men of God we were called to be. So, Father, I ask that you empower our men to love their wives in a way that is descriptive of Christ loving the church. And help the wives here to love their husbands in a way that reflects the church responding to this marvelous love of Christ upon the church, in a way that shows respect, encouragement, being a helpmate in those marriages for the glory of God and for their own welfare and blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.